Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. Just to add to the confusion over mammograms, another prominent health official telling women to ignore a directive to delay the start of routine testing. Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso is live with more.
Lori, the Preventative Task Force is advising women to hold off on breast cancer screening until age 50 and to stop breast self-exams, leaving many women confused, even outraged.
I'm saying very powerfully ignore them because unequivocally, and they agree with this, this will increase the number of women dying of breast cancer.
Dr. Bernadine Healy, former director of the National Institutes of Health, advising women to stick with the existing guidelines, which is to do breast self-exams and to begin screening every year, starting at age 40. Lori.
Jeff, thanks. The great debate over health care reform will continue after Thanksgiving, with Saturday night's vote yielding the magic number 60.
After Thanksgiving, everyone will have a chance to take a close look at this bill on the internet, and we can start this debate. I hope it will be a meaningful one and a positive one, not a filibuster-loaded debate.
Senator Dick Durbin on NBC's Meet the Press, but Republicans don't want to debate the bill. They want to dump it.
The best way to stop it is not to start it, but rather to go back and start over again with more Republican ideas in the legislation than is currently the case. So that's why you had every single Republican saying, no, not this.
Senator John Kyle on CBS's Face the Nation. A small amount of radiation has been detected in a reactor building at Three Mile Island Nuclear Power Plant in Pennsylvania. Officials are testing workers for exposure, but say there's no public health risk. A partial meltdown occurred at the facility in March of 1979. Houston, we have a delivery.
Good morning, Rebecca. Good morning, Wyatt. And good morning to our little girl.
Celebration at the International Space Station. Atlantis astronaut Randolph Bresnik's wife, Rebecca, back on Earth, giving birth yesterday to a baby girl. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
It's 12:03, and as you just heard on Fox, the Senate Democrats getting a major victory on their health care reform bill, moving the measure to the next step of debate. Democratic Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz says there are plenty of similarities between the House and Senate bills. Speaking on ABC's This Week, Wasserman Schultz outlines the two key points she wants to see in any reform bill.
Make sure we can provide security and stability to those who don't have health insurance, and making sure that we can bring down and control costs.
The next step for the Senate bill is weeks of debate and amendments before a final draft is complete. More bad news on the economic front from the State Unemployment Office. The unemployment rate in the Sunshine State now stands at 11.2%.
Florida's jobless rate in October is the worst in almost 35 years, but Rebecca Rust at the Agency for Workforce Innovation says it's not the worst ever.
That rate of 11.2% for October is our highest since June 1975. But the highest unemployment rate is 11.9% in May of 1975.
The state has lost 340,000 jobs over the past year. Hardest hit are trade, transportation, and construction. The only gains have been in health care, especially nursing homes.
In Tallahassee, I'm Rick Flagg, News Radio 610 WIOD.
Police are looking for a man who raped a woman in Coconut Grove, and they don't think it was his first time attacking someone. Authorities say a man approached a woman at gunpoint along Mary Street yesterday, forcing himself into her car and driving her to an alley where he allegedly sexually assaulted her. Miami Police spokesman Jeffrey Giordano tells CBS 4 the attack is a lot like one that happened on Halloween.
There are definitely strong similarities, and the MO is almost identical.
The man took the woman's cell phone and keys before releasing her. A Delray Beach police officer is out of a job, fired for reportedly taking free ice cream. City officials say Michael Brown was fired Friday after an internal affairs report revealed he asked a Ben & Jerry's ice cream shop employee to serve him after the store closed for the day back in April. The employee gave Brown two scoops, but the officer did not pay for the ice cream. Next update at 12:30. Condo craze and HOAs is next. I'm Lauren Granato, News Radio 610 WIOD.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, Bal Harbour Shops, Bal Harbour and Worth Avenue, Palm Beach.
Condo Craze and HOAs is intended as a resource guide for education, information, and entertainment purposes and is not intended to supply specific legal advice. The information that you hear should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a professional attorney. The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based on advertising or the information you hear today.
It's 12:06 on News Radio 610 WIOD Condo Craze and HOAs, sponsored by attorney Eric Glazer, founder of Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm helping associations and owners throughout the state of Florida. Good Sunday morning to you, or afternoon. It's now afternoon. I'm a little confused. It must be the medicine I'm taking. I'm Jerry Hester alongside attorney Eric Glazer. If you have any questions for Eric today, you can call the show at any time, 866-610-NEWS. 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T wireless customers, or you can email the show and we'll get it right here in the studio, condocraze@wiod.com. Well, Eric, last week, it was a busy week. We touched on so many things, the foreclosure mess, corruption, the lack of help from our elected officials for association problems, and our callers were angry, and, you know, people want help. Do we have any better news?
No, not really. But first, Jerry, before we even get there, I got to thank you for coming in today with bronchitis. You know, your dedication to the show is so great. You're willing to risk life and limb for the show. I appreciate it. And you're even willing to put my own health in jeopardy.
That's right.
I really appreciate it.
Now, see, I had to teach you a very important lesson. The show must go on.
Absolutely.
You know, the show must go on,
all
no matter what.
All I can tell you is, thank God we don't share a microphone.
Yeah, that's right.
They give us two. I wish I did have some good news.
Oh, don't
news.
Make me laugh. Yeah. I'll start coughing.
I wish I did have some good news. But the day after our last show, the Sun Sentinel, excuse me, had an article that said in 2009, more than 500,000 people are expected to leave the state of Florida. And for the first time since World War II, Florida's population is actually going to shrink by about 60,000 residents.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's really unbelievable.
I can tell you where they're all going.
Where?
Western North Carolina, right. Eastern Tennessee.
Absolutely. Sure.
Mass exodus.
And even Georgia.
Yeah, North Georgia.
And the article goes on to say that a study last week by the Pew Center on the States identified Florida as one of the states at risk of fiscal calamity because of its reliance on population growth. Says Florida's population is shrinking, a disturbing trend for a state that has built its economy and structured its state's budget on the assumption that throngs of new residents will move to its sunny shores each year. So, you know, again, you would think that there would be some ideas floating around by our local politicians that talk about ways to attract out-of-state residents to move here again. You know, some idea about how to stop the housing market from continuing to melt down, but another week goes by without any words or any suggestions whatsoever from any of our local politicians. Again, someone show me something that was in a newspaper because I haven't seen it. But I tell you what we did learn this week. I'm sure all of us has heard it on the news and have seen it on TV. The $500 million that the Dade County politician set aside to build a new stadium for the Marlins apparently is being spent on contractors who don't even live in the state. So apparently we're taking $500 million out of our listeners' money and are bettering the economies of other states.
I thought that was one of the stipulations.
You would think, but did you see the massive demonstrations in front of the new Marlins Stadium? All the jobs are going out of state.
Wow, because that was how they sold it.
Yeah.
You know, that it was going to bring all these jobs to mostly Dade County, but, you know, to the state.
Don't sound so shocked that they went, you know, politicians went back on their word.
Well, you know, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt that I do live in South Florida, yeah. So, you know.
Well, so again, so someone tell me why we can realistically expect things to change. Yeah, again, maybe for the economies of other cities or states. But I don't think anything good's going to happen here for a while. But the one glimmer of good news that did happen this week is that Senate Bill 780 was filed by Senator Evelyn Lynn. Ms. Lynn is a Republican whose district includes Daytona Beach, and she filed a bill with the Senate that requires banks that start foreclosure proceedings to begin paying the condo fees from the actual date they file the foreclosure. And the bill asks for retroactive application to any foreclosures already filed or that will be filed after the act is passed. Now, obviously, needless to say, it sounds like a great idea for condo and HOA owners throughout the state, and I definitely commend Senator Lynn for filing the bill. My only problem with the bill, though, I see, is that it would immediately be subject to some sort of constitutional attack because she intends to apply it retroactively to mortgages that the bank has already given, and the courts, quite frankly, frown on retroactively applying a statute to contracts and mortgages that are already in existence. But no matter what, the law would definitely apply to any new mortgages that are given, so at least it's the start. And at least someone has come up with an idea this one time to do something about the foreclosure crisis. And again, I definitely commend her for it, and at least giving it a shot.
And as we've seen, you know, over the weeks from our many callers, that's a hot issue.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a lot of them are footing the bill
right.
for units that have been foreclosed on. Yeah. And, you know, the banks should be, if they're going to own it, they should belly up.
Yeah,
you know,
and they're
honestly.
Not. And again, they're dragging their feet. Again, we've spoken on the show about the success we've had both in Dade and Broward counties lately in getting the judges to force the banks to move forward. We've had some success even this week again in Broward County. But, yeah, they've been getting pretty much a free ride. They've been allowed to take their time and allow the assessments to build up and build up. And, again, just our listeners keep suffering. So, again, congrats to Senator Lynn for at least trying to do something about it, whether or not the bill does, in fact, come under constitutional attack. You know, it doesn't matter, at least at this point. Someone has finally tried something.
Well, maybe finally the honest working person that's out there struggling and paying their bills will get a bailout.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, instead of the bank.
Yeah.
You know what? The phone started ringing before we sat down here.
Right. I always hear a quarter to 12.
I know. It's just amazing. Let's get to some of these calls. Deanne is on line one. Hi, Deanne. You're on Condo Craze at HOAs. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Dean.
Hi, yeah, it's Dean, actually.
Sorry.
Yeah, but, okay, my first...
Cold medicine.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on a great program.
Thank you very much.
Found it about 2 weeks ago, but I listened to all the back ones. My question's on annual meetings and the new regulations that Representative Rubano, who was on your second program, put forward in 2008. And the one is about the fees owed by board members who are then up for election, who get elected, who actually were not current with their fees,
right.
with their maintenance fees. And, okay, the fee was quite a low fee, like $100-odd, but
right.
they were behind at
right.
the time of the election. And does it matter how much they were behind?
No.
Does it matter what they were behind for, whether okay. late fees or liens or whatever?
Dean, very good question. And actually, this has come up in my office twice, and I've got in the past 2 weeks, and I've gotten on the phone with the Department of Business and Professional Regulation and the Ombudsman's Office to see what position they take on it. And their position is that two things: if a director owes any money whatsoever at the time of the election, that director is not eligible to serve on the board of directors. And that doesn't mean that they can't run for the board of directors. It means that on the night of the election, if they actually get elected to the board, if they win, they can't take their seat on the board of directors. So by the time those votes are counted, they got to be paid in full. That's the way at least they understand the situation. And the same thing applies to once a member gets on the board, let's assume they were not delinquent. Once they get on the board, if they're delinquent for 90 days, they are deemed to have abandoned their position. And that's for any sums. They take the position that it's any money whatsoever. If it's owed for 90 days, that person, again, is deemed to have abandoned their position and they're automatically off.
Yeah, what happened at our annual meeting was that we're in the meeting, it's already started, the votes have been counted. Well, just before the announcement of the votes to be counted, I asked for a delinquent report, and one of those people who was running for the board was on that delinquent report. I mentioned the new regulation. I said this person cannot run if it's elected, cannot be elected. It's actually been minuted in the meeting. It's noted by... The owner of Blue Sky Miami, the management company, has been noted by them, and I said, you cannot do this, it is against the regulations, and they still went ahead and did it.
Well,
they held the election, they knew the position, I pointed it out, I offered to give them proof, I had a recording of your show with me, but they didn't want to listen.
I am flattered.
and
cool.
they just went ahead like nothing. And in fact, what she did was, this particular board member, she got a checkbook out and wrote a check out there and then at the meeting and said, I'm no longer delinquent. But this was after the votes had been counted.
This was after the votes have been counted. Interesting case. I really don't know what the Department of Business and Professional Regulation would do. Again, it would be my position that at the time the vote was counted, and when the results were actually announced, that person would have been need to have been eligible at that time and not delinquent. I don't think it's good enough to actually announce the votes and then say, okay, I'll pay up now. But it would be a good test case. It would be interesting. I really don't know how the division would rule.
Exactly. So how would one go about that?
Those types of cases, because it involves an election dispute, those types of cases are required to be arbitrated and not litigated. So you'd have to file a petition for arbitration with the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, their arbitration section. And it probably would be a great test case.
Would I need some kind of representation, or is this something that, you know, a regular unit owner at a condo could do on their own, or
can
is
you,
it just, like, too complicated?
You know what they say about he who represents themselves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you walk into, you know, the arbitration section, you can bet that the condo association is going to be represented by an attorney. Probably a good idea that you are, too.
And then what happens, let's say the case is won, what happens about, you know, I'm out of pocket, many thousands of dollars for representation.
If you win, the arbitration statute allows the winner to recover attorney's fees from the loser. So be careful, because if you lose, you're paying their fees, too.
Yeah, this is the problem, and as you just said, it's a test case.
Right, exactly. But it's a good call, Dean. We appreciate it.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot, Dean. A test case, so maybe they'll name it after him.
Yeah,
the Dean statute, or, you know,
actually,
something like that.
Interesting name. His name is actually Martin Dean.
Oh.
Yeah, not Dean Martin, but Martin Dean.
Okay.
I spoke to him this week. Gentleman actually called me during the week and said, you know, Eric, I got to tell you, I sat down last Sunday, I shut off the volume to the football games, and I listened to all 9 of your shows in one evening. So
no,
I am flattered.
That is flattering.
He is president of the Condo Craze and HOA's fan club.
Yeah, right. Let's take one more call before we go to break. It's Vern. Hi, Vern. You're on Condo Craze and HOA's.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. My question is, if you sue the condo association, the managing board, who do you serve the papers on? The secretary, the president, or at the management company?
Okay, if you sue the condominium association is a corporate entity, a corporation just like any other corporation that you'd know, and they have what's called a registered agent. Every corporation in Florida is required to have a registered agent, and the purpose of that registered agent is specifically to accept service of process, service of a lawsuit, service of an arbitration petition. You can serve the president or the vice president. You can definitely do that, but the registered agent of a corporation is set up specifically for that purpose.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yes, my second question is, I've heard you on various times say to somebody, well, that's a real problem with your association, but you can't do anything about it. They have ruled. That is the board of directors. I've never heard you say, well, hey, pass a petition, and if you don't like their decisions, replace them.
You can. I think we've said that oftentimes on the show.
We talked about that last week,
actually. Oftentimes we say if you don't like decisions of your board, again, board decisions are protected by what's called the Florida Business Judgment Rule, which means a court can never really second-guess the decision of a board of directors. But that doesn't mean that unit owners who don't like those decisions don't have the right to vote those people out. I think we've spoken about that many times on the show, just by doing a simple recall petition.
Yes, I regret ever moving into where there's a condominium association in that people want on the board, and they've never read Robert's Rules of Order. They've never read the past minutes. They've never read the state laws about condominium, they've never read the state laws either.
Well, Vern, interestingly enough, I think we've also said on the show, there's now a new requirement that Senator Robaina helped pass that said if you're going to run for the board, or when you're running for the board, you have to sign an affidavit now basically stating that you familiarized yourself with the condominium documents and Florida Statute 718. Whether or not someone actually does that is another story, but at least you're required to fill out the form.
I didn't state Homeowners Association. Is that the same for them?
No, it's not. There is no such requirement, I believe, under Florida Statute 720.
Okay.
Just under the condo law.
What do you do about a condominium board, or excuse me, homeowners association, where they hold telephone meetings, they hold secret meetings?
Again, the same thing actually applies to HOA boards. HOA boards are also subject to the recall process, not just condo boards, and it basically works the same exact way. You get a majority of unit owners to sign the petition, then you can recall them as well, but I don't want to just say the term petition because that's a little misleading.
Yes,
I caution everybody to use the forms that are provided by the division because they are very specific and they're detailed, and the petition has to be done in a certain way. Oftentimes people come to my office and they decided to reinvent the wheel, and they create the form and it's done wrong. And I can tell you, if it's done wrong, you're going to lose. So use the forms that are provided on their website.
There's no other provision for their secret meetings that they hold?
Well, again, all the meetings are required to be noticed and to be heard in front of all the unit owners. Things cannot be done by secret, whether or not in a condo or in an HOA.
So what do you do when they do it anyway?
Well, again, you can report them to the division, and or you can recall them. Those are what you got to do. Use the power of the people to vote them out.
What division, please?
Division of Florida Land Sales, Department of Business and Professional Regulation.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for the call, Vern. We need to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming seminars, and we'll take more of your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, star 610 for AT&T wireless customers. It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
I want a gift that can turn from a robot into a dinosaur, and it can change colors when you dip it in water.
And it can alert me if I'm driving drowsy, and can tell me if I'm veering from my lane, and it can even see other vehicles in my blind spot.
The holidays are a time for fulfilling wishes. Fulfill yours by coming into the Mercedes-Benz winter event and drive off in the Mercedes-Benz you've been dreaming of for a price you never dreamed possible. Like the 2010 E350 Sports Sedan, one of the most advanced sedans on the planet. Now available at 3.9% APR for 24 to 66 months. Or a lease price of $699 a month. But hurry, offers end soon. The Mercedes-Benz winter event. May all your holiday wishes come true.
Monthly lease price of $699 based on 39-month term with $3,744 due at signing. Available only to qualified customers exclusively through Mercedes-Benz Financial or participating dealers through January 4th, 2010. Actual dealer pricing may vary. Some equipment described is optional. Call 1-800-F4-MERCEDES for offer details.
For a test drive, visit your local South Florida Mercedes-Benz dealer. Love what you drive. Or visit on the web at mbsouthflorida.com.
It's the symphonic rock experience everyone's talking about. The music of Led Zeppelin, performed by the Winborn Symphony, featuring conductor Brent Havens, a full rock band, and vocalist Randy Jackson. The hits of Led Zeppelin, performed live as you've never heard them before. November 24th at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. Full details at winbornmusic.com. Get tickets at BrowardCenter.org. Win tickets courtesy of Big 105.9's Get the Let Out.
Welcome to Mike's Sports Zone Bar and Grill.
The home of dollar drafts each and every day.
Daily lunch specials for just $5.99. All boxing matches and all MMA fights.
Every game, every team, every day in HD.
Check out the poker tournament on Monday and Wednesdays.
Happy hour daily from 4 to 7 each and every day.
It's a great time to unwind after a busy day at the office. Check out Mike's Sports Zone Bar and Grill, State Road 84, one block west of I-95.
Find out what Wall Street isn't telling you and learn how to safeguard your shrinking dollars with the Capital Gold Group and the Gold Show with Jonathan Rose by tuning in Saturday at 4 p.m. or call us at 800-510-9594.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo with a free language lesson, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now.
1-800-336-6144. 1-800-336-6144.
1-800-336-6144.
Camp Out has cargo trailers, race car trailers, utility trailers, ATV trailers, landscape trailers, boat trailers, trailers for your business. Camp Out can custom build a trailer for your specific need. If you just need a part for your trailer, they got any part you need. They take trade-ins. That's right. Bring in your trade-in and ask for a deal. Call 305-257-9900. Camp Out can finance you. Call 305-257-9900. Camp Out has pickup truck toolboxes, truck caps, bed liners, Nerf bars, and thousands of accessories for your truck. Call 305-257-9900. That's 305-257-9900. Camp out.
Why can't we be friends? 1226 on News Radio 610, WIOD Condo Craze and HOAs. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Hester alongside attorney Eric Glazer. Seminar's coming up, Eric.
Yes, I just want to remind our listeners to sign up for one of the free seminars on association law. We've had two courses approved by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, and each provides credit to Florida Community Association managers. Again, the courses are free, they're going to be informative, and I promise it's going to be fun and a great place to meet other owners, directors, and managers. And we've really made it easier to register online by just visiting the firm's website at florida-association-law.com. All you have to do is fill out the form, or if you want, call the office at 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and we will be glad to help you. A lot of you have already contacted us and have taken advantage of the offer, and for those that did, our firm certainly looks forward to meeting each and every one of you. It should be a lot of fun.
And very, very educational.
Yes.
Also.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of emails.
Yes, absolutely.
And I just got one from a listener that would prefer to remain anonymous. It's what happens when you use your real name in your in your email address. Our condo association meets sporadically, and they do not advertise their meeting in a timely fashion. Sometimes they post meetings a couple of hours before the actual meeting. What are the proper rules? Should they meet regularly so we are aware of them and can make arrangements to attend? The meetings are held in a tiny office in another city. Is this right? The association has over 100 units, so obviously they cannot accommodate everyone, let alone even a few of us, but the other city part, I really do question also. Plus, there's a rumor that the condo docs are going to be changed by the board and the management company. Don't they need a major meeting or vote to do this? Is this even legal?
Okay, a lot going on.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of issues.
But I'll tell you what often is a sense of confusion among unit owners. They complain that, you know, the board meets sporadically or not often enough. There's no rule in the condo statute that says that a board has to meet a specific number of times each year. So they don't have to meet monthly or quarterly or anything like that. But in terms of posting notices, every board meeting requires 48 hours notice to the unit owner. Okay? It has to be posted in a conspicuous place, and the agenda has to be up there, and you have to actually list what you plan on discussing. So, again, that's 48 hours in advance. The same rule applies to homeowner associations. In terms of changing the condominium documents, a board can't do that. They cannot change the condominium documents simply by a board vote. That has to be done by a unit owner vote. And generally speaking, it's a very high percentage. It's more than just a simple majority even. It's normally like 75%. And there's a very detailed process how you go about changing or amending the condominium documents. You have to send out the amendments to everybody in advance. Words that you plan on inserting into the amendment have to be underlined. Words that you plan on deleting have to be crossed out. So when a board threatens to do that, no, they simply can't do it. And again, a very, very significant procedure has to be followed for it. Okay? And of course, you also can't have meetings that are located in another city. That also violates Florida Statute 718. The meeting should absolutely be held, if possible, at the condominium association. Oftentimes that's not possible because they don't have a big enough room or anything
space,
like that.
Right.
So it's normally held within the neighboring community at some recreation center or, you know, something of that nature.
You know, it sounds fishy.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to that great length to make it, you know, secretive, right. And
they're going to Cleveland, you know.
Yeah,
you
right.
know they're trying to hide something.
Right? In the winter, then there's definitely something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we need to take a break for news, and we'll be back with more of your calls. 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397. AT&T Wireless customers, we make it very easy for you. Hit *610. It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD.
Good afternoon. I'm Lauren Granato with our top stories. Healthcare reform one step closer to becoming a reality. Details coming up, but first, here's the latest from Ron Phillips in the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Traffic Center.
95 northbound vehicle fire reported right around Sheridan Street. Don't see a big delay there. 595, the turnpike look good. Meanwhile, in Miami-Dade, the Palmetto southbound crash clearing right near I-75. It's off to the right shoulder. South 60 Highway northbound accident before Hamlin Mill Drive, that in the clearing stages. And Red Road, a wreck just reported near Miami Gardens Drive. You have a nice drive in the Dolphin. 95 up the speed in Miami-Dade. I'm Ron Phillips, News Radio 610 WIOD, 24-hour traffic.
Only in Miami, mid-November and we keep partly sunny skies and above average middle 80s in our forecast again today and tomorrow, and only a 20 to 30% chance for rain showers. Partly cloudy overnight, lower 70s. Lisa Love from the Weather Channel for News Radio 610 WIOD.
And right now it's 81 degrees in Hallandale Beach and 82 degrees in Pinecrest under partly cloudy skies. It's 12:31. The Senate's drive for health care reform clears its first major hurdle.
Well, all 60 members of the Democratic caucus voted to begin debate. Many still don't like the bill and will try to change it during the debate over the next few weeks. Louisiana Democrat Mary Landrieu warned that her first vote does not foreshadow her last.
It is a vote to move forward to continue the good and essential and important and imperative work that is underway.
Landrieu's not happy with the government-run public option, but Democratic leader Harry Reid sees hope.
Landrieu said that they're working together to find a public option that is acceptable to all Democrats.
But liberal Democrats may not be happy with further compromises, and that's just one of several issues dividing Democrats. Covering Capitol Hill, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
The suspect in the Fort Hood killings will remain in custody until his military trial. His lawyer says Army Major Nidal Hassan will be held in his hospital room until he recovers from gunshot wounds. A judge held a hospital room hearing yesterday. Officials at a state-run Chinese mine remain optimistic they'll find more than 20 miners alive. They were trapped after yesterday's huge gas explosion. At least 87 people were killed in the blast, the deadliest to hit the mining industry there in nearly 2 years. Those in the know on Wall Street expect a light week of trading due to the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Still, there are a number of economic reports that will come out this week. Stats on home sales, unemployment, consumer confidence, and demand for big-ticket items could spark a flurry of activity. Next update at 1 o'clock. Condo Craze and HOAs is next. I'm Lauren Granato, News Radio 610 WIOD.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Do you have your retirement strategy in place? With the rapid economic changes, you need to tune in this Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on 610 WIOD for America's Wealth Management. Get coached by national experts on how to grow, keep, and leave your money. Saturdays at 9 a.m.
Can't we all just get along? It's Condo Craze and HOAs. Welcome back. It's 12:34 on News Radio 610 WIOD. I'm Jerry Hester alongside Eric Glazer. If you'd like to give us a call, if you have any questions or issues regarding your condo association, your homeowners association, please ask. We're here to help. 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, star 610 for AT&T wireless customers, or you can email us if you're not comfortable being on the radio at condocraze@wiod.com. And we've been flooded with emails.
Right, exactly. I actually want to correct an answer that I just gave 2 minutes ago to the last person that wrote in with her question. She was concerned that the meetings were taking place in another city and that there wasn't enough meetings being held. The statute actually says that there shall be an annual meeting of the unit owners held at a location provided in the bylaws, and if the bylaws are silent as to the location, it has to be held within 45 miles of the condominium property. Okay, so again, the annual meeting has to be held within 45 miles of the property, but there is no requirement as to how often associations have to hold meetings. Okay, board of directors meetings, that is, but there must be an annual meeting. All right, I want to get to an email that a gentleman sent in. His name is Gilbert from Aventura, and he had an insurance question, and we all know how complicated the insurance statute currently is. But let's see. He writes in, Florida Statute 718.11a states that the association should have coverage for the full insurable value of the property, while Section 3D states that the condominium shall use its best efforts to obtain adequate insurance. Our documents require insurance coverage in an adequate amount, as determined annually by the association. Our insurance agent will issue a policy for 80% of the insurance value, and Citizens Property will write such a policy. If we insure for 80% of insurable value, would we be in violation of the law? It's a great question, Gilbert, and to say that the law is confusing is an understatement. What the law does say is that an association controlled by unit owners has to use its best efforts to obtain and maintain adequate insurance to protect the association and the association's property that is required to be insured by the association. But the statute doesn't say anywhere in the world what the term best effort means. So the reality is it's anyone's guess what best effort means at this point. The statute does say that adequate insurance is based upon the replacement cost of the property to be insured as determined by an independent insurance appraisal that has to be done at least every 36 months. So if we keep playing with the statute and breaking it down, the association has to use its best efforts to insure the property for replacement costs, which I guess in this case is the full insurable value. However, if that's not confusing enough, the statute doesn't give any guidance as to what the deductible must be. Can it be 2%, 5%, 10%? The only thing it says is that it should be similar to the deductibles of other condominiums in the community, and the board has to disclose that deductible at a meeting. And again, if this sounds real confusing, it's only because it is. But the bottom line is that in communities where there's like a 40 or 50% foreclosure rate, the board is probably protected if they fail to get insurance or purchased insurance with a very high deductible, because they can argue they use their best efforts, but the condominium association simply can't afford it. But as the community begins to catch up financially, or in communities that can afford a policy with a lesser deductible, then they would be required to obtain insurance, because by using their best efforts, they'd be able to afford it and purchase it. And associations and association attorneys and managers are really hoping that the Florida legislature clarifies this soon, but for now it's basically hurry up and wait. Jerry, let me ask you, do you have any idea what in the world I just said? Because I'm not sure if I do.
You lost me at the law states. Can you speak Klingon? Because I might have been able to understand it a little better.
If we don't understand what's going on, I obviously have to have some concern that some of our listeners have no clue either. It's really wild. We're looking for some clarification from the legislature, but so far it hasn't happened. And the attorneys who practice in this area every day have no idea what the statute means. And then the reality is that much of the legislation that we're talking about, it isn't even written by attorneys who practice in the area. It's poorly drafted. It doesn't help anybody. But again, hopefully this is going to be cleared up soon. So I hope that really answers your question, Gilbert. And if you'd like, call the office for further clarification.
I think we just confused Gilbert even more.
Right.
Let's get back to the phone. Let's talk to Henry. Hi, Henry. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Yeah, how you doing? My question is, if his, a receiver being named an association, and that receiver is the same lawyer that was the association, and also the personal law attorney of the president of the board and the registered agent of the property manager, that is not a conflict of interest. If it does, how the association can oversee to take the receiver off and take back as a boarder?
When you say receiver, you're talking about a blanket receiver to collect the rentals from tenants?
Basically, I think it is the receiver took over all the board.
Okay, that's a different story. Well, let me tell you what we do in our office. The term blanket receiver has become pretty popular down here in South Florida. It basically means in associations where you have unit owners who own units and they're renting them out, but they're not turning the rent over to the association to pay their dues, you go in and you ask the court to appoint a receiver to collect all the rents from the tenants so that we can turn the rents over to the association so that they can collect the dues on that unit. What we do in my firm is we go in and we ask the court, since we're doing the collections anyway, to let the law firm be the receiver for the association. That way it's less confusing. The association actually incurs less fees than going out and hiring an independent receiver who has to familiarize themselves with the process. So it's not necessarily a conflict of interest, but of course it should be something that's done by a judge. A judge obviously needs to appoint the receiver. And if it's go ahead.
It's not a collecting rent. This is an owner occupier.
This is a receiver to manage the association?
Yes.
Okay. Any unit owner would have a right probably to intervene in that lawsuit and ask the judge to think about the appointment of a different receiver. You know, perhaps you'd have to show why the attorney is not doing his job or biased in favor of the particular board members or something along those lines. But it's not necessarily, I believe, a conflict of interest to have the association attorney be, in fact, the receiver for the association. You'd have to show, again, some conflict of interest.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks again.
Thank you. You know, I thought I saw receivers on the call screener, and I thought he was going to give me a tip for my fantasy football team. So I'm
receivers, just what the Dolphins need.
Yeah, right? Any receiver, please. Right. Well, Andy is online, too. Andy, you're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Yes, good morning. Or good afternoon, I guess. Question. I got a two-part question. It comes up with one. We had the president of the board resigned and the vice president resigned recently. Then the vice president that resigned volunteered to come back and sit in as president. Is that legal for them to do that without any other voting going on to reinstate them as such?
Okay.
The second part has...
Let's take it one at a time, Andy. So the president and vice president resign. Okay?
Right.
Now, after they resign, the board says, the vice president says, hey, I'd like to come back.
Correct, as sort of as a favor to fill in because he resigned and then all of a sudden the president moved out of the neighborhood, sold his house, moved, and resigned.
Okay, well, after the president and vice president resigned, the remaining board members would have to reappoint that vice president again back to the board.
Okay.
Okay, and yeah, there's nothing in the statute that would prevent that.
All right. And the second part, then, is the board able to conduct business via emails and not actually having a meeting when they want to...
No, the board shouldn't be conducting... No, good question. The board shouldn't be conducting business and voting by email. Absolutely not. Board members who are not capable of attending a board meeting and voting in person, the only thing they can do is appear by phone. And that telephone has to be set up as a speakerphone, and that speakerphone, the people in the audience have to be able to hear it, and the board member has to be able to hear the people in the audience. That's the only way. Members of the board of directors can't vote by proxy. In other words, if board member A can't make a board meeting, he can't give his proxy to board member B to cast a vote for him. So if you can't make a board meeting, you know, that's it. You can't make it.
So if they don't want to call a meeting for one reason or other, let's just say it's not scheduled in this month, but they want to put in a new expense that they want to charge for, say, cleaning common areas.
Right.
In order to do that voting, they cannot conduct an email meeting.
No, absolutely not. That should not be done by email, especially a new expense that's going to be incurred by the unit owners and, you know, change the budget. That should be done with 48 hours notice to the unit owners. It should be posted. It should be voted upon after the board has a quorum of members in attendance, and a majority of that quorum would have to pass it.
Is there something in a statute that says email type conducting a business is not?
No, it says when decisions of the board have to be done at a meeting.
Okay.
And that meeting has to be open to the owners.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Andy. I actually want to move on to just one thing. There was a great article in the New York Times this past Friday about a Jewish condo owner in Chicago who kept placing a mezuzah on their doorway to their unit, and the condo would keep taking it down because the board wanted everyone's doors to match. And the state of Illinois has since enacted a law that allows for these types of religious displays, but the appeals court in Illinois is allowing that case to go to trial to see if the board intentionally meant to discriminate. And I bring it up because Florida has enacted its own law on this subject. Florida Statute 718.113 states that an association may not refuse the request of a unit owner for a reasonable accommodation for the attachment on the mantle or frame of the door of the unit owner of a religious object not to exceed 3 inches wide, 6 inches high, and 1.5 inches deep. And obviously, with the holidays coming up, this is the perfect time for everyone to learn the statute. You know, needless to say, the purpose of the statute is designed to allow everyone the right to have some religious freedom and religious expression, but without being allowed to go overboard. So this topic seems to come up every time this time of year, and since we're heading into that that period of the year where everybody likes to put up some
decorate,
religious displays,
sure,
and decorate, sure, everybody should learn the statute, and the boards who haven't been tolerant in the past certainly need to make themselves aware of this statute.
Now, does that apply to a permanent fixture or, say, a holiday wreath?
Can be permanent. It absolutely, you're allowed to now have permanent fixtures,
right,
on your doorway.
Well, you see them everywhere,
yeah,
especially in, you know, down here.
Yeah, absolutely. You just have to be careful not to exceed the size limit. It doesn't mean, you know, you can put a great big giant wreath on your door or something resembling a Hanukkah menorah on your door, the mm-hmm. size of the entire door. That's not what it means. It means that in a condo you have a limited amount,
right,
of religious expression, but you do have some.
Okay.
So, you know, so,
hey, Florida did something right.
What do you know? Yeah.
It's 1246 on News Radio 610 WIOD. Let's take a break. And back to your calls, 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610. For AT&T Wireless customers, if you're on hold, please be patient. We'll be right back to you on Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today. And with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
A shrinking U.S. dollar, bank collapses, rising inflation and unemployment. Your retirement dollars are at risk. Tune in to Gold Show with Jonathan Rose, Saturday at 4 p.m. to learn how to protect your wealth with gold or call Capital Gold Group at 800-510-9594.
The Miami Rescue Mission and Broward Outreach Centers feed the hungry, care for the poor, and help change the lives of thousands of men, women, and children every day. We couldn't do this without your support. Sponsor a food or clothing drive, or you can volunteer in our centers in Miami, Hollywood, or Pompano. To learn more about being a life changer, visit our websites at MiamiRescueMission.com or BrowardOutreachCenter.com or call us at 1-800-817-HOPE. That's 1-800-817-4673.
It's the symphonic rock experience everyone's talking about. The music of Led Zeppelin, performed by the Wimborne Symphony, featuring conductor Brent Havens, a full rock band, and vocalist Randy Jackson. The hits of Led Zeppelin, performed live as you've never heard them before. November 24th at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. Full details at WimborneMusic.com. Get tickets at BrowardCenter.org. Win tickets courtesy of Big 105.9's Get the Let Out.
A hurricane preparation tip from FPL. Before a hurricane strikes, turn your refrigerator and freezer to their coldest settings to keep food fresh longer in case you experience a power outage. Be ready during storm season. Visit fpl.com/storm for pre- and post-storm tips, frequently asked questions, and more. And for the latest breaking news and information, keep your radio tuned to News Radio 610, WIOD, or listen live at WIOD.com, the home of Operation Stormwatch.
I can't breathe.
As we wind up, condo craze and HOAs for another Sunday. I got to tell you, Eric, this is the fastest hour on radio.
Isn't it really?
I feel like we just sat down and said hello, and now it's almost time to say goodbye again. If you'd like to call in, if you have questions for Eric, please do. 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, star 610 for AT&T wireless customers. And you came across an interesting case this week.
Yeah, actually a very interesting case that actually settled this week here in Broward County. Briefly, in 2006, a 79-year-old woman was parking her car in the condo's parking lot, and she was suddenly thrown to the ground by an attacker. She fractured her hip, and she had the vehicle stolen. She claimed that the on-duty security guard and the board members who witnessed the perpetrator on the property hours before should have called the police. And to make a long story short, the condo settled for $245,000. And I bring up the case for a number of reasons. Based upon what we learned on the show previously about how the statutes were kind of redrafted in 2008, it can certainly be argued that the directors who saw the perpetrator on the property earlier in the day but ignored him, they faced the possibility of individual liability if the woman can prove that the failure to remove the bad guy was an example of that reckless disregard for her safety. So certainly bring it up for that reason. And secondly, I raised the case to actually lead into another important issue. A lot of our listeners know that the board can't make material alterations to the common elements of the property without a unit owner vote, and often that percentage of the vote that's needed is as high as 75%. But when it comes to security, however, it's a different ballgame, and there's a case law out there that says where there's an established history of criminal activity that occurs on the condo property, the board can construct a security fence without a vote of the owners, even where the fence would have constituted a material alteration to the common elements that normally requires a vote. Okay, so again, where security is concerned, if you want a board wants to put a fence around the community, no vote is needed, and no unit owner can say, wait a minute, it's a material alteration, a vote is required. But the board has to be able to prove that there's been some, you know, violent crime on the property previously. And I'm comparing and contrasting that with, I met with a new, potentially new client this week, and they wanted to make a little different type of material change. They wanted to rent a portion of their roof out to a company who wanted to put a cell phone tower up there.
Big money in cell phone towers.
Exactly, exactly. And a lot of condo associations are trying to do that to get money. So this particular board thought it would be a great idea to get some revenue into the association. Unfortunately, they weren't informed that that type of a change, putting an antenna up on the roof, that is considered a material change to the common elements. So they needed a unit owner vote to do that. So I had to tell them that before counting their money, they needed to actually take a vote. So again, security to build a fence, no, you don't need a vote. To put up a cell phone tower, yes, you do need a vote. Okay, even though, again, they're both considered material changes.
How about to put up a gate?
To put up a security gate, no, you wouldn't need it if the board can, at a meeting, justify it because of other crimes that have previously occurred
security,
on the condo
property. That falls under the same category as a security fence. Let's get back to the phones. Bob has an interesting question. Bob, you're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
I recently inherited a condo from my parents.
Yes.
And it's paid in full and everything, and I've chosen to live in it. And I've had a disagreement with the people because they're telling me I'm not 55. Can they make exceptions?
Yeah, we actually had this call last week. Again, in a 55 and over community, the board has the right to say the unit has to be occupied by somebody 55 and over. Absolutely. If you're not 55 and over, you are not entitled to occupancy.
So I guess I'll have to wait till I was 55 then if I wanted to stay there.
That's correct.
Right?
Or rent it out by putting someone, at least one person age 55 or over in there. Or marry somebody 55 and over right now.
Pardon?
Or marry somebody who's simply 55.
Yeah, okay.
Bob's my age. We don't like the older women.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
Was
that my outdoor voice?
I only got two more years, you know. And
there you go, Bob.
I don't know. But they said I could live there temporary.
Okay. Well, again, they'd have the right to say the unit has to be occupied by somebody 55 years or over.
All right. Okay.
We can do actually a whole show on 55 and over communities. Just a quick note to them that you can lose your 55 and over status if you don't do surveys every 2 years, which in fact verifies that someone age 55 or over is living in each and every unit. So those 55 and over communities that are listening out there, make sure you're doing your surveys. Any questions, again, just call the office. But thanks for the call, Bob.
Yep.
Thanks, Bob. I would be willing to bet that most of those communities are not.
are not doing their surveys. Yeah, it happens because it's not a simple undertaking. It's actually a massive
especially job. In some of the homeowners. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and, you know, streets upon streets, entire communities.
You take a community, again, like we mentioned Century Village once in a while, where there's thousands of residents.
Right.
But, yeah, you actually have to make sure you have to get copies of driver's license or copies of birth certificates or passports showing that the unit is, in fact, occupied by someone age 55 and over. And if you don't, and regardless of whether or not it is or it isn't, if you don't do your surveys, you can lose your status as a 55 and over community.
Wow.
So, yeah, and then you got to start allowing children in.
I learned so much on this show. Let's talk to Henry on line two. Hi, Henry. You're on Condo Craze at HOAs.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
I had a unit in a rather large association. It's 900-plus units. There's a certain faction that wants to set up a special taxing district. Others say that can't be done. Can you tell me whether it can or can't, and what would be the advantages and disadvantages of doing this?
I'll tell you the truth, I'm not that all familiar with it, Henry. When you say set up a special taxing district, what does that generally mean? Is it money that's going to be collected and turned over to a local municipality? Is it the local municipality the one that wants to set it up? I don't know if I'm understanding the question.
As I understand it, it would be set up to generate revenues from taxes of the unit owners, as opposed to having them pay condominium association fees. I guess it would be analogous to what Jackson Hospital has set up for it on a much smaller scale.
Right, so it's not something actually being done by the association. It sounds like it's being done perhaps by the local municipality. And
it would be done by the association, as I understand it. They would have to go through a municipality, but it would be solely for the benefit of the association.
Yeah, and oftentimes, like especially I know what happened out here with a lot of communities in Davie, Florida, that when they were buying into the communities, they were notified in advance by actually details that were contained in the contract that they were moving into a community that was already part of a special taxing district done by that local municipality. So with all respect, I think I beg to differ with you, and it's probably something being done by the local municipality. But again, okay. Probably best to talk about it in the office. Just give us a call, okay? 877-4 No problem. 877-4 Condo Craze, and I'd be glad to talk about it with you at that time.
Okay, great. Could I ask one more question?
Go right ahead, Henry.
We got about a minute and a half.
Okay, very quickly, just your opinion, please. The association seems to be having financial problems. Fences are down or leaning. Painting has not been done. The units are renting for between $1,300 and $1,400. It's probably got a value of $90,000 to $100,000. Again, your opinion, would you recommend releasing it out or renting it out or selling?
Again, if in associations that have the ability to rent out their units, it's absolutely a good idea. There's no problem doing it because the banks are going to take a long time to foreclose. And during that time period, why not collect the rent and why not turn it over to the association and help fill the void that's being left there by the unit owners who are not paying their assessments? I think it's a good idea. On the other hand, I met with some clients this week that felt that no matter what, they simply don't want to be considered landlords. They don't want to take the job of being on the board of directors and having to worry about renting units and acting like landlords and worrying if there's a leak in a unit or if someone's sink needs unclogging or whatever. That's not what they moved to Florida for. So, again, it might all depend upon how your particular board members feel about the situation.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Henry.
Thanks a lot, Henry. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Very enlightening show, as always. And we've got Kim Komando coming up next. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. We'll be back next Sunday at noon with more Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD.
The talk you want,
the news you need.
News Radio 610 WIOD, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Streaming live 24/7 at WIOD.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Lauren Granato with our top story. Senators will have the Thanksgiving holiday to mull over health care reform legislation. Details coming up, but first, here's the latest from our Hard Rock Hotel Casino Traffic Center.
Nice ride at 95 Miami this afternoon. Palmetto South crash clearing at I-75 and South Dixie Highway North. The earlier collision clearing just before Hamlin Mill Drive. Red Road, a crash in the clearing stages. Miami Gardens right at the intersection. Meanwhile, in Broward County, Turnpike trouble-free. So is the Sawgrass and I-595 looking good, as well as 95 and I-75. Accident-free, according to FHP. I'm Ron Phillips, News Radio 610 WIOD, 24-hour traffic.
Only in Miami, mid-November and week. Heat, partly sunny skies and above average middle 80s in our forecast. Again, today and tomorrow, and only a 20 to 30%.